Father, for those words. Amen. What a great way to start. Tonight's teaching, I want to share on Abigail as a mediator. So Abigail, I need three volunteers. You go to Galatians 3:20. Eli, would you go to 1 Timothy 2:5, please? And everybody else, if you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16, the teaching is going to be about 1 Samuel chapter 25. But Abigail as a mediator, and her as a type of Christ, and as a Moses. And if you really want to know what a mediator is, and I'm going to try to keep this 30 minutes, so okay, it's 10 till. Moses is one of the best, he might be the best mediator there was besides Christ. And Moses says there's going to be a prophet and a mediator coming if Jesus Christ is going to be it. And you want to know what a good mediator is? When Yahweh's going to wipe out all of Israel. Yahweh goes, Moses, get out of the way. I'm gonna smite him. Whack! Yeah. Moses falls to his face and he goes, and he comes up with these reasons and these justifications. Don't do it. The Egyptians will say you brought them out here for this and that. And Yahweh's looking and he's looking. And did these guys deserve to be smote? Destroyed? Yeah. But here he was, and Moses gets in the middle of it, and it's neat. But a mediator, Isaiah, would you read Galatians 3:20?
Now a mediator is not a mediator of one.
But Yahweh is one, or God is one. A mediator, can you get married? Can one person get married?
No.
No. Can one person get divorced?
No.
No. So, as we have an attorney, almost all our attorneys in our office, they have one client going in there, and I get to hear them badmouth their ex. It's almost all divorces. I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't want to hear this. But there's one, she always has two clients. She has two clients, I get to talk to her. And I'm like, why do you always have two clients? And I get to hear them fight because they're really close. I don't want to hear fighting. But she goes, I'm a mediator. I bring two parties together. What do you think is easier, to be an attorney where, oh yeah, she's the Antichrist, that one right there, we're going to sue her mom, we're going to sue her uncle, then the other guy goes, yeah, we're going to sue that guy. Or her to sit there and have two people argue, they're going to kill each other over the kids. And she said, it's amazing, people will get married because they're in love, and then they'll go to court to try to kill each other and destroy their children. And she was like, it's diabolical. Those weren't exactly her words. But she was, but it was something like, but she is a mediator. Mediator is not a mediator of one. Yahweh is one. But he needs people in the gap. Dad was doing, he shared recently about the Apostle Paul. Yahweh, and Christ told him to go somewhere because he had many, remember?
Many souls.
Yeah. There were many people there. I always thought that there are many allies. No, there's a lot of hungry people that need the word. I need somebody in the gap. Yahweh has given freedom of will, and he needs somebody in there to go do his work.
Yeah.
And he's not looking for perfection. He'll take anybody he's got. You ever see on the football field? I need a punter. I need a punter. Where's the, especially in the football, Dad would tell us, he goes, no matter what the coach asks for, volunteer. Remember that. If you're going to do sports, they'll say, I need a kicker. Go out there and I say you're not a kicker, and they'll throw you up, but they'll remember. And you'll always be ready to go, be willing. And Yahweh does the same thing. I need somebody in the gap. 1 Timothy 2:5, somebody read that. Eli?
For there is one God, one mediator also between God and men, a man, Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus. And so what we have is God, and we see, the neat thing about this right here is you have Jesus Christ as the mediator between man and the Creator. And if you watch The Passion of the Christ, is that hard?
Yeah.
Yahweh started telling me when he's being beat, I want you to start naming some of your vices that you're wrestling with. Because all of us have something we're not doing.
Yeah.
Something. It might not be that wicked, but there's something you're not doing. And he was like, name that vice on the next whip. And I went, was that hard what he did, Christ did? He didn't just do that. He's still doing it for you. He's mediating. And when you deserve to reap what you've sown, because Yahweh's not mocked, the ungrateful little jerk, and this is being made, Christ gets in the middle, Dad, like Moses, let me talk to him. And he's still doing it. Can you imagine? Let me talk to Aaron. Let me scare him. Now here's the Apostle Paul, Saul. Saul the persecuting the Christians. What should happen to Saul? Smite him! Nuke him! Fire! Yeah, and here's Christ gets in between. What is Yahweh just? Yeah, he's a just God. If you deserve something, you got to pay that. And Christ gets in between Yahweh and Saul. Saul, we got to talk. Why are you persecuting me? Well, I'm not persecuting, I'm serving Yahweh. Yahweh is going to nuke you. And this is what Lot tried to do with Sodom and Gomorrah, and they're trying to mediate. But Jesus Christ is still mediating each day with us. And that was just something recent. You're going to go, man, I thought I owed him a lot. I'm watching the Passion. He's still working for you. And when we tell him no, we're too busy, you're like, holy cow. Now turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're just going to go quickly here to chapter 16. And we're going to go verse 25. You cannot read the account of David and Nabal with Abigail without understanding these things, or you're going to completely miss the story. So really the teaching, we're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 25, 4 through 35. It's the story. But you have to read this first, okay? And what's also, would somebody read 1 Samuel 16, verse 1?
And Yahweh said unto Samuel, how long, and Yahweh said unto Samuel, how long art thou going to pine for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and come, let me send thee unto Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me among his sons a king.
A what?
A king.
Who has provided a king?
Yahweh
has rejected Saul, and what does Yahweh say? I have provided. Is that future tense?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it now?
Now
I provided. I got a king. Mm-hmm. Who said that? Yahweh said, I have a king. Mm-hmm. Samuel doesn't know who the king is. Now go to verse 12. Did somebody read verse 12?
So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ready, a shipling with handsome eyes and noble mien. Then said Yahweh, rise, anoint him, for this is he.
So who is choosing the king? Yahweh's going to choose a king. In verse 12, who did he choose to be king?
David.
So, according to Samuel, according to Yahweh, who is the king right now?
David.
To the rest of the world, who's the king?
Saul.
But whose opinion matters?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes in the world they go, if you're so right, why are you in such a small group?
Yeah.
You're in a cult. You know, well, that's what they say about Jesus, too. They say the same thing to Paul. You're in a cult. We heard about this cult. Yeah, you're in good company. But even with David, so when David is anointed, what is he? He's a king. Does he look like a king? No. But is he king? Okay, this is really important because the paragraph Bible points something out, because when he has to flee for his life from King Saul, who's the real king? David is. Did he choose it? No. But he's the king. When he flees from Saul, if you don't know this, if you read it, or you listen to the word of promise, he starts killing people everywhere. Do you know what he's doing? First of all, what is he?
The king,
and he is cleaning out the land of Canaan, what his fathers did not do. These guys weren't supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And so here's Joshua, and he goes, how slothful are you to not subdue the land? David gets right to work cleaning out the land. Could they have converted? Yes. Could they have done that like Rahab? Yes. And if they would have fell down to David, who's a prophet, he's the anointed, and says, Yahweh is it. Or they say, let us flee. Yeah, but they didn't. So if you don't know that, you see David killing people, and then he's lying to, I forgot the name of the king of the Philistines. But what is he doing? He's cleaning things up like a king would. And what we're also going to find out is that David was not only a king in Samuel's eyes and in Yahweh's eyes, David was the king in a woman's eyes. Her name's Abigail. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25. And before we go there, this is great. Especially if you hear it on Word of Promise. Because you're going to read this account, you're going to go, well, what authority does David have to do something like this? He's a king. What would happen if somebody mocked Moses?
They did.
One guy picked up sticks.
Yeah.
Right before then, Yahweh warns in the book of Numbers, don't tolerate this, don't tolerate that. The next day, somebody picks up sticks. What happened to that guy?
Dead.
What? Moses, what goes to Yahweh, the prophet, he's got to go, right? If you mock Moses, what would happen? If you mock Samuel, what do you think would happen?
Bears.
you got one step ahead of me. Because it, with Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 2, Elisha's the second one. Elijah, what did he look like? He's a hairy dude. He's got hair everywhere. What does he look like? He's hairy, man. He's got back hair, chest hair, leg hair. He's got this camel skin. Okay. But when you talk about Elisha, what do we know about him?
Bald.
He's bald. And it says 40 youths, and a youth could be a 40-year-old. So not necessarily kids, started saying what to him?
Bald.
Go up, bald head. Go up, bald head. And what happens to him?
They got killed.
Who sent the bears? Yahweh sent two she-bears, and they killed all 40 of them, and people watched. What happens when you mock Yahweh's anointed? They're going to go, David is a mediator.
Yeah.
We are mediators between people. And so here's David. So now we're going to read the account. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Verse 4 through verse 35. So if you guys will take turns reading, you'd be doing me a great favor.
Sure. So then David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. David therefore sent 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Go up to Carmel, and enter in unto Nabal, and ye shall ask him, in my name, of his welfare, and say thus, Long life to thee, mayest thou prosper, and thy household prosper, and all that thou hast prosper. Now therefore have I heard that thou hast shearers, while the shepherds that thou hast have been with us. We reproach them not. Neither miss they anything all the days they were in Carmel. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Ask thy young men that they may tell thee that so my young men may find favor in thine eyes. For on a good day have we come. Give, I pray thee, what they had findeth to thy servants and to thy son, to David.
Okay, who is actually sending this message?
Yeah.
The king.
Oh, king.
The king says, hey, there's a festival coming. Hey, you got Christmas, a big feast. You might have, my men haven't eaten. They stop by, okay? Now somebody.
So David's young men came and spake unto Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and waited. Then Nabal answered the servants of David and said, Who is David and who is the son of Jesse? Nowadays many are the servants that are broken away, every one from the presence of his Lord. Shall I then take my bread and my wine and my slain beasts that I have slaughtered for my shears and give unto men of whom I know not whence they are? So the young men of David turned away for their journey and came back and drew near and told him according to all these words.
You remember, can you imagine doing that to the king?
No.
Now, we don't. If you don't know the whole context, he's not the king. He's just, no, he is the king according to Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And the people who are following him, do they think he's the king?
Yeah.
They know he's the king. That's why they're following. He's the anointed. Nobody can kill giants and jump over walls. They said David jumped over walls. Mm-hmm. I could jump over a wall. I'm like, man. Okay. Could you imagine seeing a guy jump over a 20-foot wall or 15-foot wall? And that's your king? Oh, yeah, Yahweh's with that guy. And so these guys who are bringing this, what did you just say to the king? And what's important about that is we're going to find out that David, we're going to read here in a second, that David is being humbled by what he said he did, because the account of Nabal's servants were, they were our bodyguards. They were protecting us like a king would protect his servants.
Mm-hmm.
They were great to us. Why? David's the king. Nabal's one of the subjects. But back in verse 10, what does Nabal call him? You're a servant.
The son.
You're a servant. You're the servant, and you have abandoned your Lord. It's an insult. And we're going to find out. It appears Nabal knows the truth because his wife knows the truth. But what is he going to do? I've had people do that. They didn't know the scriptures, and they'll say something to mock me because I'm not blending in, or I'm not going to bow down to their religion. And they mock me. How do you think Yahweh feels about that? I'm going to go, you're not mocking me. But here Nabal is going to right in his face, to the king's face. Okay?
So the young men of David turned away for their journey and came back and drew near and told him according to all these words. Then said David unto his men, Gird on your every man his sword. And they gird on them every man his sword. And David also gird on his sword. and went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stores. But a certain one of these young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Lo, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to bless our Lord, and he treated them with contempt. But the men were exceedingly good to us, and we were not harmed, neither missed we anything all the days we went
through." Can you pause right there? Just keep your finger there. If you see, do you guys see the footnote of contempt?
Yeah.
D? Read the footnote.
He flew upon them or stormed
at them. He stormed at them, possibly. It could be. Okay. So, thanks.
I'll start at 15 again. But the men were exceedingly good to us, and we were not harmed, neither missed we anything all the days we went to and fro with them while we were in the fields. A wall became they unto us both by night and day, all the days we were with them tending the flocks. Now therefore, know thou and see what thou canst do, for mischief is determined against our Lord and against all his household. But he is such an abandoned man that one cannot speak unto him. I'll let somebody else go on 18.
Then Abigail hastened and took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine and 5 sheep made ready and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 cakes of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and put them on asses. Keep going.
Then she said unto her young men, "Pass on before me. Behold me coming after you." But unto her husband Nabal she told her nothing, which is important because they're married.
Because
every once in a while, if a spouse has gone really wicked or something, there's a, in this account, she doesn't just stand by her man. A lot of people are going to die. So she's going to jump to it. What is she going to do? 400 people. What army is coming? We just learned about Alexander the Great coming with 45,000 taking on 250,000. That's nothing compared to David or Gideon, Yahweh's anointed. And what is she going to do? She's going to interject. And Nabal, he could have repented.
Mm-hmm.
In this, he could have said, "I blew it. What was I thinking? I had a bad day. I drank too much coffee. I was doing my taxes. I'm sorry. I've blown it." And what would have happened? There probably would have been a justifiable penalty, but he could have been spared. He's not going to turn them. But she is going to throw herself. She's going to put her life on the line. Can you guys think of any other woman that's done something like this in the scriptures?
Jael.
Esther. Esther 4:14. Esther threw her whole life on line to come between two parties. And it would appear that Esther would have been fine all by herself. And so here's Abigail. She's going to go like a type of Christ. She's going to die, so to speak, because David could just kill her. Okay? Somebody read for me.
Let's see, 20. "And so it was that she was riding on her ass and descending within the covert of the hills. Lo, David and his men descending over against her, so she met them. Now David had said, 'Surely in vain did I guard all that pertained to this man in the wilderness, so that there was nothing missing of all that he had, seeing that he hath returned to me evil for good. So my Elohim do to... So may Elohim do to David, and so may he add, if I leave remaining of all that he hath until the morning, so much as a little boy.' And when Abigail saw David, she hastened and alighted from off her ass and fell down before David upon her face and prostrated herself on the ground. Yea, she fell at his feet and said, 'O me, even me, my Lord, be the transgression. But I pray thee, let thy handmaid speak in thine ears, and hear thou the words of thy handmaid. Let it not be, I pray thee, that my Lord regard this abandoned man, Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal equals base in his name, and baseness is what is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, by the life of Yahweh and by the life of thy own soul, seeing Yahweh hath withholden me from coming in with bloodshed and from saving thyself with thine own hand, now therefore, like Nabal, be thine enemies, and they who are making search for my Lord wrongfully. Now therefore, this blessing which thy maidservant has brought to thy Lord, let it even be given unto the young men who are going to and fro at the feet of my Lord. Forgive, I pray thee, the trespass of thy handmaid, for Yahweh will certainly make my Lord a sure house for the battles of Yahweh. Is my Lord fighting, and wrong shall it not be found in thee all thy days. Yea, though they have arisen a son of earth to pursue thee, and to seek thy life, yet shall the life of my Lord be bound up in the bundle of the living.
Is that important? Yeah. Because who's pursuing David's life right now? Saul, his father-in-law. His father-in-law, and who's with his father-in-law? His best friend, Jonathan. What's going on with that? It didn't say that Jonathan's necessarily with him, but still, why did Jonathan come with him? And so what happened, what did Nabal say? You're a servant, and you abandoned him. And then when did she come back? No, you will be taken care of. And what she starts doing, she starts prophesying. She throws herself in the midst of something. Nabal does not deserve this or whatever, these people. And what is she going to do? She's got to do something. And there's a lot of times in our own lives, you always say, you go do something. No, tell me what to do and I'll go do it. That's not how it works. But she did the best she could. She got all the food, all these things, and she brought the food the men needed as like a trespass offering. And then she falls down, and I believe that she started speaking. And Yahweh through her started speaking. And here comes the Holy Spirit. And here's David. Remember, he's cleaning the land up. If he is the king, he should do what his forefathers did not do. Clean out the land. Yahweh said in the scriptures, if you don't get rid of these idols, they will subdue you. They'll come back over and over and over again. So what is David doing with his men? We have to clean the land. You got to get rid of... And then here's Nabal. Okay, he's got to go. They all got to go. You can imagine him and his men. So they go in, and then what happens? This woman comes in like a Jesus Christ. And Christ does that for us. When we deserve something, we deserve a lot better, but when we compare ourselves to Jesus Christ, what do we deserve? Man, I don't deserve any of this. Thank you for being my mediator. So somebody, I'm sorry.
But I also want to begin with 29.
Thanks. We were in 29. My Lord be bound up in the bundle of the living with Yahweh thy Elohim, that is for thy life of thy enemy. He shall sling it out with the middle of the hollow of the sling. Who is this enemy? Can you imagine? Here's David. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Is David going through a hard time? Do you know who just died before this? Samuel. Where's David's brothers? Later on we'll find out that he's got a nephew that kills one of the giants. Where's David's family? He had like seven brothers. I think one of them died and he had six. Where are they? We don't know. Let's see here. Oh, but then Yahweh, through this woman, says Yahweh will sling out this enemy. And I believe that is not just Nabal, but this is also Saul. And I was reading in the Paragraph Bible, they have some good stuff, they have some bad stuff. But with the Paragraph Bible pointed out, they said, Yahweh says you are the king, but Yahweh didn't say kill the king. What does this even mean? Wouldn't it be a lot easier if we just kill this guy? That reminds me of Lord of the Rings, where Lord of the Rings, they don't kill Gollum. Just kill the guy. And sometimes Yahweh will, you do what I say. Do what I say, you'll be okay. He that exalts himself shall be what?
Abased.
So you start cocky with sports or grades or whatever, Yahweh's watching, you know. But he that humbles himself shall be exalted. So can you imagine David's heart? The guy who's pursuing your life, Yahweh's going to fling it out. I'll read verse 30. And it shall be when Yahweh shall do for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee. Did Abigail know?
Yeah.
It sure looks like it. Which would mean there's a good chance Nabal knew too. But Nabal didn't care. I've had people attack me that knew the word. Mm-hmm. And they're going to attack me because they can get away from it. I'm not David. They're not trying to kill me. Yeah. Let's see, concerning thee, and shall put thee in charge as leader over Israel. What does she treat him as? The king that Yahweh. And by bowing down to the king, who is she bowing down to?
Yahweh.
Then shall this now become to thee a staggering and a stumbling of heart, and unto my Lord that thou mayest shed blood. Dad, would you read for me or somebody else?
When do you want you to read?
What verse?
Without.
Just read 31 again.
Without need or the hand of my Lord save himself. And when Yahweh hath dealt well with my Lord, then remember thou my handmaid. 32. Then said David unto Abigail, Blessed be Yahweh, the God of Israel, who hath sent thee this day to meet me. and blessed be thy discreet judgment, and blessed be thou thyself who hast kept me this day from coming in with bloodshed and from saving myself with my own land. Nevertheless, by the life of Yahweh, God of Israel, who hath restrained me from harming thee, surely except thou hast hastened and come to meet me, then not been left unto Nabal by the light of the morning, so much as a little boy. So David. So David received at her hand that which she had brought him, and unto herself he said, "Go up in peace unto thy house. See, I have hearkened unto thy voice and accepted thy person."
I have hearkened to thy voice. Who just said that? The king. The anointed. Think about Abigail. We're going to get to see all this stuff. We'll see the movies at the resurrection. You think these movies are good that we're going? We'll get to see this stuff. Better things. Do you think Yahweh knows how to make a movie?
Yeah.
Abigail throws herself in to be a mediator, and she ends up prophesying to the prophet. And I bet you David was weeping, because when Yahweh talks to you and he gives you the secrets of your heart, and here's David and his men, and you can see what happened with that. Yahweh confirms these subjects are bowing down to you. It's just one. And Yahweh prophesied through her, Yahweh's going to sling them out. We're not going to worry about it. In Esther chapter 4, verse 14, somebody, if you've got to turn to page 496. Well, actually, turn to Luke chapter 24. And if somebody goes to Esther 4:14 for me, one person volunteer. Isaiah, would you go there?
Yeah.
Everybody else go to Luke chapter 24. There's the story of a mediator coming between two different parties. And we know about Moses. We know about David doing different things. But here's a woman that we know very little about, Abigail, except for her prophesying. But here's her moment to shine. And would somebody read, Isaiah, would you read 4:14, please?
Yep.
"But if thou do indeed hold thy peace, at this time respite and deliverance will be appointed for the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house will perish. And who knoweth whether for a time such as this thou hast attained into the royal estate?"
What is a great verse. Esther 4:14. If you don't do your job, Yahweh will find somebody else. But if you think, I'm not going to get involved because I don't want the drama, is Yahweh mocked?
Yeah.
Really? You're going to tell me no because you don't want drama? Retract all the blessings. Send in the taxes.
Yeah.
Have the cars break down. Oh, you don't need my blessings anymore. So the whole thing is, I'm not getting involved. I don't want my own drama. But Yahweh, with each one of us, He puts it on our heart to be a mediator for people like Abigail. And when we don't want to, for self-preservation, whatever, I don't want to. I'm a people person. 4:14, He'll find somebody else.
Yeah.
But He's going to deal with you. Now, in Esther's case, that wasn't necessarily Yahweh dealing with her, but there will be consequences for your non-compliance. And in Esther, it was prophesied through Mordecai, you're going to die. Now, in Luke chapter 24, before verse 27, Jesus Christ is resurrected, and there's a good chance that Dad did a teaching that he did not look the same. He did not have the same face. Because when he started witnessing and talking to people, they didn't know who he was until he did something. And then they knew it was the Lord. Isaiah wouldn't have to do something for me to know that it is him. I see his face. I see Elijah. So there's a good chance Christ looked different. And it could have been a different face every time undercover. But here's these two guys walking. They're confused. And this is a different type of mediation. They're going, "We thought he was the Messiah. And now he's dead. And he's gone, and his body's gone. What's going to happen?" These guys are talking. Maybe it's heated. Maybe it's not. Maybe they're depressed. Did you guys feel depressed after the Democrats stole the election?
Yeah.
What? Are you kidding me? Oh. And I bet you Yahweh's watching you going, "I wonder how many Christians are going to turn on me, going to blame me for this." Just watch them. But in this case, who shows up? Jesus Christ does. And he starts mediating. Two parties. This was just confusion, and they didn't know what was going on. He goes, "Hey, what are you guys talking about?" Do you know what that reminds me of? When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? Yahweh goes, "Where are you guys?"
"Adam, where are you?"
Did he know where they are? He's like, "Yeah, hey, you guys, I'm in the room." But in this case, Christ goes, what are you talking about? And then in verse 27, somebody would read that. Verse 25. And he said unto them, O thoughtless ones and slow in heart, to rest your faith upon all things which the prophets had spoken. Was it not needful for Christ these very things to suffer and to enter the glory? And how did he start mediating? They needed a reconciliation of their heart and their believing what they're going through and the scriptures. Something wasn't adding up. What they were believing in the scriptures. And what's the next verse say? How did Jesus Christ start mediating?
With the word. Beginning from Moses.
He started with Moses and the prophets.
Yeah.
So if anybody's having a real hard time understanding something, you say, what did Moses and the prophets say about this topic or this subject? And that's how Christ started mediating for them. And to me, that was one of, when you see the resurrection in the book of Acts, you get to see Jesus Christ back to work. He's working harder than he did on the cross for us every day, mediating. And when you or I feel like not mediating, jumping in the gap for somebody, ask yourself, do you want Christ to continue to mediate for you?
Yeah.
To get in the game. And not just get into the game, there's a chance that you can become an Abigail. Prophecy. Prophesy to a prophet, and now you're famous forever, like Jael. Who is Jael? Are you like a billy goat? Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for tonight, and for all our family. I speak blessings over them. I thank you that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us to confirm your word. And each one of our missions. We have one life to give you back. We don't know when your son's coming back. Help us lean into the plow, set differences aside, and focus on the common goal of the return of the King. Know, my sons and daughters, that there's much work to do, but I want you to know that I will reward you more than you could ever imagine. I see your hearts. I see how exhausted you are. I understand that. Like a coach seeing players on the field, I understand that you have every reason to quit. But I want to tell you that there's Super Bowl parades in your near future. And at your own Super Bowl parades, you will not be thinking about throwing up on the field or feeling sorry for yourself. You'll just be so grateful you didn't quit. I don't ask you to understand everything. I just ask you not to quit. And I ask you, if you can, show up to work with a smile on your face. Come on,